Well, good morning, Two Rivers. My name's Dave. If we haven't met, I'm one of the pastors on staff, and I get to bring God's word this morning. And so it's good to be here with you in live. If you are joining us over in Blend or Amped or Roane County or Bearden, great to be with you as well. I love that we are calling our series on the Sermon on the Mount Flipped. Because if we take a moment just to think about reality, God's kingdom is always right side up, isn't it? He's the one that defines. He's the maker of it all. He's the king of everything. And his kingdom is right side up. It's the world that is upside down. And so Jesus is talking in this Sermon on the Mount about what it means to live kingdom values. To use the imagery that Dave Groen used last week, it's God's kingdom that if it was an airplane, it would be flying right side up while the world is flying upside down. As we start this morning, I want to paint a little scenario for you, okay? So we're going to use our imaginations, and I hope that as we use our imaginations on this, that this never becomes a reality for you. It's been a busy day for you, and so you go to bed at night, and it's 2 a.m, and you're sleeping great because of the day you just had. You're sound asleep. I mean, I'm talking REM-type sleep, you know? And all of a sudden, you hear it. The smoke detector goes off. Now, if you're anything like me, the first thought that comes to your mind is, oh, the batteries must be dead again. And have you ever noticed that? Why do the batteries in the smoke detector always die in the middle of the night? It's the worst. But as you lay there and you hear the smoke detector go off, you realize something very quickly. It's not just the batteries that are dead, you actually smell smoke. And a fear that you have is actually becoming a reality. Your house is on fire. And so now you set in the panic mode, you wake up, and now you've got a couple of minutes. What do you go after in the 2-3 minutes that you have? As you think through of what's in your house, what are the things that in a moment you're grabbing? And let's just be fair. There are some things that are obvious, right? Anything living should go, right? Like, that's like assumed. You're like, well, I think I'd probably grab my kids. Yes. Go get your kids. Now, if you have a cat that you're like, oh, honey, I couldn't get the cat. I don't know. But like, what is it that you're getting? What is it? Because it's in those moments when you're forced to grab something, it reveals what we find most valuable to us. It shows. And so maybe you're going like, well, I need to grab a family heirloom. I need to grab important tax documents, or I need to grab whatever it is. It reveals what's valuable to us. Now, that's possessions. Let's take it a step further down. Let's take it to you. What do you find most valuable about you? Maybe it's a skill you have. Maybe it's your personality. So if somebody were to come to you and say, who are you? How would you define yourself? Because how we define ourselves actually reveals our values about ourselves. And if those values get messed up, if those values get taken away from us, it can send us into an identity crisis. So if somebody comes and says, who are you? Do I answer, if somebody came and said, Dave, who are you? Would I go, well, we lead with what we do, right? Well, I'm Dave, I'm a pastor at a church, and I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a boat fan, I'm a Padres fan. I mean, what do we go with? Oftentimes we use descriptions about us, but what happens if that's the way we describe ourselves, if that's what we value about ourselves? Oftentimes those things can get taken away from us. Then what? You see, I think today what Jesus is going to be going after with us is going after the heart of our identity. Not just the things we value, but aligning our values with actually who we are in Christ. And when we align our values with who we are actually are in Christ, then those things can't be taken away. Jobs come and go. That's just reality. The sports teams that you're cheering for today, you move cities, you might root for another sports team. Your kids will grow, and if things go right, they'll move out of your house. So your identity shifts. That's if things go right. Then they might move back in and move back out, and we don't know. But as we jump into the passage today, here's what we're going to see. We're going to see that living right side up means letting Jesus realign what we value most. That when we live in the kingdom of God, when we live in the right side up kingdom, we actually allow Jesus to define what our values are. Our values about ourselves, what we think about ourselves, the values that we have on our possessions, we allow him to do it. Last week we saw Jesus define in the Beatitudes who's in the kingdom of God. And it wasn't who people thought. He didn't go after and say, oh, the religious leaders, yeah, you're the ones in the kingdom of God. He actually used, as Dave said last week, the Jelly Roll song, the losers, right? It's the poor in spirit. It's the outcasts. It's those who seek peace and not the other way around, the world's values. He goes, it's those people who are in the kingdom of God. And this week, what we're going to see in three short verses is that Jesus goes, these are the people who are in the kingdom, and now that you're in the kingdom, this is who you are, and this is what your values should be. He gets to define it. Now, here's what I'm going to challenge you as you sit, and this passage may be familiar to you, but here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Is that Jesus as king gets to define who we are in his kingdom, and he gets to tell us what is valuable. Now, if as you're sitting listening to the word, if there's something that you're like, I don't know about that, can I just say it's our job to bring alignment with the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's our job to bring that thing into alignment with what he says. He is not to change his values to bring him in alignment with ours. Okay? Can we do that? So here's the passage that we're in today. Matthew chapter 5, and we're starting in verse 13, and this is what it says. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. A truth that jumped off the page at me right away. As I was reading this passage and as I was studying this passage, it just was like right there, right away. And it's this, owning our identity allows Jesus to reshape our priorities. When we own our identity, because look at the statements Jesus makes. They're declaratory statements. It's not like he asks a question. He says, you are salt. And then he goes a little further and he goes, you are light. Jesus doesn't come and go, hey, you're going to be kind of like a salt-like substitute. And you're going to be like a light-ish. No, he looks at his disciples And he's teaching them, and he goes, you are kingdom citizens, and now this is your identity. You are salt, and you are light. Now, let's think about that for a minute. He just called his disciples salt. That would have been shocking if the religious leaders were around, and they might have been around to hear it. Because in the ancient world, the religious leaders, those who worked in temple, now they were the salt. They were the ones that infiltrated and brought flavor to the culture. They were the salt. And now Jesus comes to his disciples who are made of fishermen, tax collector, and other outcasts. And he looks at them and he goes, no. They think you are salt. And then he uses the other imagery. He tells them they are light. You are light. And Matthew is such an amazing storyteller. I hope that you've been able to recognize that as we've walked through the book of Matthew. Matthew is an incredible storyteller. In telling the disciples, you are light, Matthew is actually tying this passage to the broader story of Scripture. If we go all the way back to the beginning in Genesis, God in his creation has always partnered with human agents. That's just God's modus operandi. That's the way he works. He's always partnered with humans. And he actually, and when he created Adam and Eve, he said, we're going to make them in my image. In my likeness, they are to be my representatives to the rest of creation. And ever since then, God has been partnering with people to show the rest of the world who he is. We see it with Adam and Eve. We see it with Noah. We see it with Abraham and the patriarchs. We see it with Moses. We see it with the nation of Israel. God has always had a people unto himself to show the world who he is. And now Matthew ties this larger story of living our identity to the fact that going, now these disciples who are on this hillside, he goes, you are the light. You are the ones that I'm partnering with now to reveal. Light reveals. And he's going, you're revealing my kingdom, my values to the rest of the world. Matthew's tying it all together, but as I think about this, Jesus looks at disciples. Now, a shorthanded definition of disciple is this, follower of Jesus. So if you've committed your life to following Jesus, welcome to it, you are a disciple. I don't care your age, you could be a student in here. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're a disciple. It's not someday you will become one, you are one. And so if Jesus looks at his disciples, his followers, and says, you are salt and you are light, this is who you are in the kingdom, the same is true for us. We are salt and light. As a follower of Jesus, this is our identity, and Jesus himself is the one who gets to determine who we are, and what he says about us is more true than what you feel about yourself. He defines you. You're in his kingdom as a follower, and so he's going, this is who you are. Now that you're in my kingdom, this is who you are, your values will line up with the values of the kingdom, not the values of the world. The values of living right side up. Our world values things like strength, power, and power even if you got to take it. Our world values prestige. Our world values titles. Our world values pleasure above all else. And Jesus comes along and he's teaching a different kingdom, a right side up kingdom. And the kingdom values, the kingdom priorities are love, sacrifice, humility. In a world that values pride, Jesus comes along and goes, no, humility is living right side up. A kingdom of God that values service. Oftentimes, I feel myself in the tension of the way I view myself, of the values that I have of myself. And oftentimes, the values that I have for myself more coincide with the values of the world as compared to kingdom values. So when I think about my life, I think about I value being healthy. I value being easygoing and laid back. And I value these things. I value things that I can control about myself. But I think God's brought me on a journey over the last year and even more recently of what happens when the things that we value about ourselves get undercut. What happens to our identity then? What happens when the script of our lives changes? And I think God in his grace, and it's been his grace, it's been his mercy that has revealed those things to me where he goes, this is the way you would define yourself, Dave, but this is actually, I have something new for you, and I'm drawing you into something, and I'm writing a new script in your life, and it's going to be more right side up than it's ever been before. And I'll just tell you, if you're like me, it's a little bit of a painful process. It's not just a little bit of a painful process, it's painful. But it's in that God's grace is going, I'm writing a new story, and the question that I ask, and I think the question we all need to wrestle with, is do I actually trust him? Do I trust him enough to believe that what he says about me is true? That what if our value goes beyond our personality? What if our value goes beyond character traits? What if our value is in the fact that we are kingdom citizens, that we are disciples of Jesus? It's as we trust him with our identity and our priorities in life that a new reality takes place, that living our priorities brings hope, it brings transformation to the world. When we allow and we actually trust God enough to write the script of our lives, when we actually trust him that what he says about us is true, we begin to live as salt and light in the world. And as we do that, we bring hope to a world that is flying upside down. We bring transformation to a world that desperately needs it. Jesus declared his followers, he goes, you are salt. Now, in the ancient world, salt had some properties that went with it. It had unique properties. Salt purifies. Salt preserves. Salt enhances. When I was thinking about this passage, I started thinking about steak. That's just where my mind goes. And if you ever have cooked steak, and actually I was thinking about bringing up a Blackstone, and then it turns out it's illegal to do that inside, so we didn't. But as I think about steak is, by itself, steak is, it's fine. But you take some salt, and you sprinkle salt on it, it enhances the natural flavor that's in that meat. Makes it juicier. I mean, you salt it, you sprinkle it on there, you throw it on the grill, and you hear the tss. Some of you are like, I'm hungry right now. Me too. And Jesus goes, salt actually has unique properties. And he goes, you are salt. And as we live as salt, what we do is we bring flavor to the world. We enhance, we bring purity to the world. And then Jesus declared the followers, he goes, you are light. And what does light do? Light, it reveals, it guides. And all of these characteristics are to be lived out as we own our identity. They're to be lived out in our actions. And as we live it out, being salt and light, it's going to bring hope and transformation to a culture that desperately needs it. Here's something that blew my mind this week. And it goes again to Matthew being such an amazing storyteller. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 says to his disciples, "You are the light of the world." But if we look back, Matthew actually, in the chapter before, just quoted from Isaiah chapter 9. And in Matthew chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, Matthew is quoting Isaiah, and he says this, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." Now stay with me. This was like, whoa, this week to me. In the book of John, John chapter 8, Jesus declares himself. He goes, "I am the light of the world." And so oftentimes I would read what Isaiah writes and what Matthew quotes from Isaiah, where it says, "A people walking in darkness have seen a great light." And I go, yeah, they see Jesus because he's the light of the world. And is that true? Yes. But in context, look at what Jesus does. He's saying, as you stay connected with me, the light of the world, now that you're a follower of me, now that you're in my kingdom, now that I'm defining who you are and your values and your identity, he looks at his disciples and says, "You are the light of the world." So we don't have our own light within us. We actually have the light of Jesus shining through us, and it reveals to the culture. So those walking in darkness have seen a great light. And I went, oh my gosh, the light that they're seeing is the light of the disciples of Jesus who stay close to him. Guess what? When the world walking in darkness sees the church, it should see the light of Jesus. Jesus, in three short verses, gives us identity and he gives us mission. You are salt and you are light. It is very missional. It gives our lives purpose and direction, and it should make us reflect carefully how we live our lives. But I want us to be careful about something right here. So Jesus says, you are salt, you are light, that's your identity, and in being salt and light, our values will be conformed to kingdom values, and we are going to live out these values in the world. And some of us, when I say, hey, we need to live this out, it's missional, we start going to, oh great, here it comes. Here comes the guilt trip of all the things that I'm not doing. And we start making being missional of living as salt and light in the world, we make it a to-do list. Oh, now I've got to start being really spiritual. Oh, now I've got to just go around and I got to stand on a street corner and I got to speak publicly and declare Jesus to everybody. Let's go back to the imagery of the steak. We're to season, a good steak is seasoned appropriately. You know what we don't do? We don't dump a bag of salt on top of steak. And Jesus comes and he's going, I want my disciples, my followers, to season the culture. I want it to bring flavor. And so the way you live your lives will bring seasoning and flavor to a culture. I don't need you to dump a bag of salt on the world and just go, you're not, you're not, you're not, you're not. So what does it mean to live as salt and light? It means that when we live, let me phrase it another way. We live out what we believe our identity is. We live in a way that we actually believe about ourselves. So when we actually believe Jesus, that we are in his kingdom, we are his citizens, we are salt, then we understand that it's not just adding more spiritual things to our lives. When we recognize we are salt and we are light, we can live our lives in close relationship with Jesus. And it's in staying close with Jesus that our values, our priorities change. And so then we can actually just live. We live our lives. So what does that very practically look like? What does it look like to live as salt and light? If it's not adding a bunch of things, it looks like going to your kid's sports game. And you're like, wait, I do that anyway. Yeah. You being there and cheering for your team and not cheering against the other team, you're living as salt and light in the world. If you're a student in the room, the way that you live on your campus, you are being salt and light. By not joining in the gossip that's going on, and I've got teenagers, it's a crazy world that you guys live in. By not joining in all the talk and the gossip and the rumors and all that stuff, by not joining in on that, you are living as salt and light on your campus. You are showing kingdom values on your campus. There's a lot of moms in this room. And I've been married for 20-something years, and I know there's a lot of times that as a mom, you're on your fifth load of laundry for the day, and you're starting to wonder, does my life actually have meaning and value and purpose? I hear him talking about being salt and light, but I don't even have the opportunity to be salt and light. Can I just tell you, when you're putting that fourth and fifth load of laundry in, you are being salt and light in one of the most important places that you can be salt and light to your family. It's in the mundane, everyday things of life that we actually get to live and be salt and light. We get to show our kids what it looks like to be salt and light. And I'll just tell you, I don't do it perfectly. I'm a boating guy. Most of you know that. And this year, it's coming to be boating season, the most wonderful time of the year. And I had to do some maintenance on my boat, and so I had to pull my boat out of the water, but I went and got my trailer out of the storage yard, and I quickly realized that in order to do maintenance on the boat, I got to do a ton of maintenance on the trailer to even put the boat on the trailer. So I looked at my son, who's 14, I said, bud, we got to redo all the bunks on the trailer. The bunks are the boards that are covered in carpet that the boat sits on, and so I got all the supplies, and I had a staple gun that I had bought at a garage sale about 15 years ago. So I have no idea how old this staple gun is. And so there we are. We start trying to use the staple gun. The staple gun keeps jamming, and I'm getting ticked. And he's, like, trying to help me fix it, and I looked at him. I'm like, just back off. He's like, he went in the house. So there I am trying to work on this dang staple gun, and I was ticked. And so I got to a point where I just took it and I slammed it on the ground, and then I just went and I threw it in the grass. That's what I did. And then I walked in the house and I just went like this. Staple gun's broke. You know what my son did? He went outside, finds the staple gun in the grass, and begins to tinker with it. And so I went out there after about 10 minutes. He goes, I think it'll work now, Dad. Started working. Not great. We ended up borrowing one. But I'm sitting there, and as I was thinking about being salt and light, I'm like, my son was salt and light to me. Just in the way he lived. He didn't have to say, now Jesus doesn't want you losing your temper. The Holy Spirit did that job. He just lived. And in so doing, he was salt and light to me. You see, salt and light is not something that we just add on. It's something that we just live as we walk in relationship with Jesus. Being salt and light means your life has value, meaning, and purpose because you are a follower of Jesus. You get to bring flavor, light, guidance to a world that is flying upside down. So, when we live our identity so that the values of the kingdom can be lived through you and draw people to Jesus, we begin to live what Matthew says in Matthew 5:16, and it's Jesus talking at the end of our little passage today. And Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. When we begin to see the mundane task of life and we live it out with kingdom values, understanding our identity, the world will take notice. And it's not going to take notice of you. It's going to take notice of him, and that's the goal. So what do we do with that this week? What are our steps, next steps this week? And we're going to ask a couple questions. And the first question that I want you to ask is to think about, what is Jesus teaching you? And the question that we're not going to spend a lot of time, but maybe it's a start of a conversation even today, is Jesus, what are you teaching me about my true identity? Because if we live out of our identity, then he should be the one defining it. And once again, if there's something out of alignment with your identity, what you feel about yourself, if it's not lining up with what Jesus actually says about you, you may go, well, I don't feel like salt and light. And Jesus goes, you are. So live like it. So what is Jesus teaching you about your identity? The second question is this, and I'm going to give us a moment just to reflect on this. And I want you to ask Jesus, if we are living as salt and light in the world, then it's going to bring hope and transformation to the world. And so here's the question I want you to ask. Ask Jesus, who in my life needs hope right now? So go ahead and ask Jesus that question, and as Jesus brings a name to mind, just go ahead and write that name down. Who in my world, my sphere of influence, needs hope? Is Jesus bringing a name to mind? There's people you know right now who are walking around in this world who feel like their life has no meaning and has no purpose. Maybe the name that's coming to your mind right now is your spouse. And you need to go to them today and say, thank you for everything that you do for our family. Here's what I need you to look at me for a second, okay? As Jesus brings that name to mind, here's what I want you to do. I don't want this day to end without you sending them a text or maybe even a phone call. Okay, so this is like real practical next steps. Here's what we're doing, and it's going to be a today next step. As Jesus brings that name to mind, I want you to just send, even if it's just this, hey, I prayed for you today. And you go, well, they're not a believer. They don't know Jesus. I don't know if I want to cross that bridge. Can I just, nobody's going to go, hey, you prayed for me today. I reject that prayer. They're not going to do it. You know what they'll probably say is, thanks. Send somebody a text today. Call them. Or maybe if they're in your world just day to day, you can actually talk to them. Who needs hope? And the last thing is that the amazing part is that we get to live out our identity together. We are more salty and we are a brighter light together. And so we want to live it out together. And so there's a daily discipleship guide in your bulletin that will help you to stay connected to Jesus, because we are only salt and we're only light as we stay very close to Jesus. And this tool is just to help do that. So let's do that this week as we live our identity together. Jesus, we come and we say thank you. Thank you that you get to clarify, you get to bring identity to who we are. And so I pray that we would be a people who live out kingdom values as we live further and further into our identity as followers of you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's go ahead and